Support for the BTPM NPR What's Next podcast comes from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, partnering with the community to pursue racial and socioeconomic health equity. Learn more at hfwcny.org.
From Buffalo, Toronto Public Media, this is What's Next, an hour dedicated to amplifying the voices of marginalized and underrepresented communities across Western New York and Southern Ontario.
We cannot erase, we cannot reform, we cannot make things better if we're uncomfortable having tough conversations,
absolutely,
if we're uncomfortable
absolutely
talking about race.
What's Next carries forward our mission to engage in meaningful conversations about race, equity, and the shared concerns that deeply affect Buffalo's East Side and beyond.
Don't stop. Make those families part of your life. Their lives are part of yours. Don't stop.
Together, we dive into the real issues, striving for understanding, connection, and change.
In the suburban area, everywhere, we must work and teach our children.
Welcome to What's Next on Buffalo, Toronto Public Media, NPR. I'm Jay Moran, hosting today's program. We're going to be talking about an event coming up on Tuesday the 14th. Strong Families, Strong Futures, Workforce Development Expo coming up. This is going to be taking place at the Buffalo EOC on Ellicott Street here in downtown Buffalo. Here to talk with us, we have the CEO of the Buffalo Prenatal Perinatal Network, Luann Brown. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Asantua Holly, the COO of Northland Workforce Training Center. Good to have you with us.
Good to be here. Thank you.
All right. Well, let's get into the background of what brought these two, disparate entities, but at the same time, what brings the two of you together for this effort?
So Buffalo Prenatal Perinatal Network has been around since 1987. Our primary focus is reduction of low birth weight infants and infant mortality. So we want moms to have a healthy delivery. So we work, we have four programs. We have two home visiting programs, women's programs that either roll for 2 years or 5 years. Similar focus, but our Healthy Families New York program, which is our 5-year program, focuses on parenting, prevention of child abuse and neglect, child development, and also self-sufficiency for the mom since they're with us so long. Community health worker program, similar population, pregnant moms. They're really looking, though, for the woman that's not connected to the system.
Mm-hmm.
So they want, you know, we used to do a lot of street outreach where they would go into high-risk neighborhoods and knock on doors and say, is anyone pregnant? We're actually getting a lot of referrals from our own clients. They're referring their sisters.
That's got to be tremendously gratifying.
Yes, it's great. So it speaks to the value of the program. But so they work with those vulnerable moms that maybe don't have housing, don't have food, and we kind of have to stabilize them initially because you can't talk to people about health goals when they don't know where they're sleeping that night. So those two programs run. We do a lot of education, a lot of advocacy, and I think that, you know, everything is done in the home except we do support groups at the agency. We screen all our moms for depression, substance abuse, and domestic violence. Mental health issues, especially with women of color, is a huge issue. So we have a support group for them, which is run by a mental health counselor with the goal to get the moms into individual counseling because they still have that stigma about seeking any help.
Right.
We also are a baby cafe, which is a support group for breastfeeding moms. We know we're big breastfeeding supporters if the mom wants to do that. So everything is pretty much done in the homes, and my staff are from the communities we serve. So we work primarily in the east and west side of Buffalo because, unfortunately, they have the highest rates. Our clientele are mainly African-American and Hispanic because they also have the highest rates for not great outcomes. Healthy Families does go a little further out. They go out to, like, Cheektowaga, South Buffalo, Lackawanna. So there's a little bit of expansion there. And then we have our fatherhood program, which we started about 7 years ago. And that is a support group for dads because I felt like we were kind of missing the boat, not talking about the dad. And not every dad is a deadbeat dad. And a lot of dads want to be involved. And research shows when there's not a father or a father figure, great outcomes do not happen with the kids, whether it's dropping out of school, teen pregnancy, criminal justice involvement, you know, it runs the gamut. So it's a evidence-based curriculum we do for dads. We've just started a new curriculum for partners, which has been, actually they have a class tonight I'm going to. Mm. But they do a lot of mentoring with the men. We actually do a lot of health issues. In fact, one day I was at, they did a boxing class with the man that was scaring me, Terry, who is he's an ex-Army, and he was yelling at these kids. I was getting scared listening to him, but we try to keep them involved in activities. And then our last program is a program called Go Buffalo Mom, which is a transportation program, because the biggest barrier our moms have is getting places. They don't have cars, so then they don't go to their prenatal visits, which is really important. So this program, we have a navigator that either gets moms bus passes or Medicaid cabs if they're eligible. And we work with the delivery hospitals. We work with agencies. So that's what we do. And when I speak to funders or the, you know, public groups, you know, I talk a lot about, like most nonprofits, that we do save money, because national averages for a preterm delivery is about $65,000 life cost, because it's not just the hospital, it's special ed, which we all pay for in our school taxes. It could be assistive devices. So I said, you know, when I compare my numbers every year of how many full-term moms we brought, we save like $5 million a year. The one thing we do not work on exclusively, and it's not in our wheelhouse, and there's plenty of people that do it, like Northland, is that a lot of times when I speak to people, they'll say, so what do you do with the moms? How do you get them if they're interested in the workforce or more schooling? So I really felt like that's going to be my focus this year. And this is kind of our trial event to see, to get not only our clients, but we've invited anybody who wants to come to talk about things that they need. Because a lot of these moms have never been in the workforce, so they don't know how to do a resume. They don't know soft skills to work a job. So those kind of support wraparound, and also to talk to employers for jobs. So this is a group that actually our junior ambassador board came up with this idea to do it. And Northland is one of our partners in this because they've been doing it for 10 years. So that's how we connected.
All right, so then I get that. So, well, let's now switch it now over to the Northland Workforce Training Center, Asantewaa. And like Luann said, this is more or less in your wheelhouse, right? That this is, you know, these are the types of things that you're always doing. You're developing, trying to work to develop people to get them into the workforce. So talk about, though, connecting in this particular case with the Buffalo Prenatal and Perinatal Network.
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the things is we have a saying at the training center. Our president and CEO, Stephen Tucker, always said from the very beginning, you do what you do best, right? And you partner for the rest. And so you can't be all for everybody, everything. And if you are doing everything, things are going to be slacking, right? So that's where that partnership comes from, Luann and her team at Buffalo Prenatal. And we like to think within workforce development that we've got our niche, right, of experience and excellence that the training center does. We're an extension campus for two colleges, SUNY Erie and Alfred State College, offer training in advanced manufacturing and clean energy. So we're an extension campus for two colleges, along doing some internal training programs that we do. But the biggest part for us is making sure that at the end of this training, upon graduation, what job are you going to be placed in? And so we're very, very intentional on that, on the whys of why you want to be in the field of advanced manufacturing and clean energy. And it starts from day one when somebody walks in the door into our outreach. You know, why do you want to be a welder? What do you know about being a welder, right? Why do you want to be in the electrical field? And that's super important. Our model is, though, to have everything in-house. And so it starts with our outreach team. Financial aid and admissions is in-house at the training center. We have career coaches, or what could be deemed as like a guidance counselor, in-house to help with any barriers that students have during their duration that they're there, whether they're in a two-year program or a one-year program within the training center or one of our shorter-term programs. It's so essential that support is there. And a lot of times you hear, you know, that term wraparound services. What are the wraparound services? Is it transportation? Is it this? But that's where that partnership becomes super important, because although we have a lot that we do internally with BPN, we did with their fatherhood initiative. Mm-hmm. And so being able to refer men that are in the training center, if they needed those services over to them. And again, going back into what partnership looks like for us, we were very intentional of, hey, we're not just going to just tell somebody to walk over to their services, right? Like, we want to be able, here's a contact person who's, they'll be able to speak in. We can check in with each other to see how things are going with that. And so it's not just a number being referred out. This is an actual individual that both organizations know.
And we heard Luann speak about the people that they're trying to reach. What about for Northland? Who is utilizing Northland? Mm-hmm. Who should be utilizing Northland?
Anybody who's interested in a career in advanced manufacturing or clean energy. So I could sit here and say, you know, we have numbers we want to hit for women and numbers for minorities and numbers for those just different demographics, sure. Okay. Right? Okay. But the truth is, you got to have an interest to do this type of work in advanced manufacturing and clean energy. So our average student is 24 years old. So we have students that come in from high school. We have people who have come in and just looking for a job change. We've had people, quite frankly, have come in and needed electrical work done at their home and was like, hey, when I saw that, I decided I wanted to go back to school and be an electrician. And I tell you, if I was a hands-on person, I would probably go and do that as well. Because it's not just for us, the training. I'm just going to circle back to that employment piece,
right,
of it.
Right.
And really understanding, like, here's a career that you can get into, that you can make family-sustaining wages from, that can really change the trajectory of somebody's life, their outcome, their kids. And so when you're talking about what Luann is speaking, you know, for these young moms, if they have an interest in advanced manufacturing and clean energy, sky's the limit.
Is there, though, at the same time, because when we say manufacturing, mm-hmm, or advanced manufacturing, that maybe there's still a little buyer beware? People are like, I don't want to do manufacturing. I don't want to look like those people back in the 40s who are, you know, putting rivets in ships and things along those lines. I'm wondering if that is ever an obstacle.
It is. It's an obstacle. And when you think about it, like, okay, so my background is not in advanced manufacturing, clean energy whatsoever, not even in all honesty, non-for-profit or workforce development. Right. So I come from a finance space of 20 years in that, and then coming into this for the last 5 years, which I've grown to love. But I say that because I also had those misconceptions, right? You know, when you're not in that field or not exposed to it, and then you had that time where it just all shut down and everybody lost their jobs and animation and things went overseas. But we are not in that time anymore. And a big part of our work is ensuring that parents and schools and anybody who's willing to listen really understands what that advanced manufacturing is, because that's such a broad word, right? Well, when I'm saying advanced manufacturing that we have here, we're saying, hey, you can go to school and have a 2-year electrical degree, an associate's degree in electrical, an associate's degree in welding, a certificate in mechatronics, a certificate in auto tech, and a not made up job at the end of it.
Right.
And actual employers who are also partners with us, because everything we do is industry driven and industry focused, saying, I can guarantee you this individual will have a job at the end of this. We did auto tech, which some could say, yeah, that's not really advanced manufacturing, clean energy, but it does divvy into that. And within our auto tech, we opened that last spring, 2025.
And that was driven, if I recall, it was driven by a local dealership.
100%. Two. So you have two competitor dealerships, Northtown Automotive and Wester Automotive, coming together, partnering together. Why? Because there's a need for people to be in that field and good money. And so they're heavily invested in, like, this is going to be on the east side of Buffalo, where you can come here and do the 1 year through SUNY Erie. And then if you decide to go ahead and do the 2 years afterwards, I just did a report on it literally before I came here. 80% of those students went out with that first cohort. 80% of them still went on to do a 2-year degree.
Wow.
80% of them. 80% of them are also working right now within industry, right? And so in that, if you're opening the door that way, you can start as an auto technician. You could at some point go into finance. You could at some point, you know, these other avenues. The dealership had sent individuals like Bill Holma, who started as a technician and was the vice president of fixed operations for all of Northtown. So not just originally here, but that's what it's about, exposure. And so when you're saying, you know, that fear of what that would be, we really have to have a a conversation about what is the actuality of the career and the jobs that are attached to that. Because I'll tell you what, I'm still paying off my student loan debt right now. I'm not walking out of jobs making $70,000, $80,000 when I graduated from college, not even after my second degree. You know, we have students who are walking out of there making $70,000 and $80,000 because there's a need. Now, we won't broadcast and say that would be everybody, but there's people and students who are coming out of there and making a lot of money in careers because they're needed in wanted positions.
I wonder if we could have a expand this conversation, because as you're talking, the word disconnect kind of pops up, right? That that there are these opportunities and some people are taking advantage of them, but not everybody. And similarly, of course, with the prenatal and perinatal network, you know, there's an opportunity for assistance here, but maybe not making the connection. Although you did show the great news about, you know, you don't necessarily have to go knocking on doors on all of the streets in some of the neighborhoods. But at the same time, you know, it's nice to hear about referrals, but in terms of connecting individuals to opportunities, connecting them to, and also similarly, the other way around, that there's a part of the world that looks at people who are struggling as being maybe, you know, you can use the adjective whatever way you want.
But
let's have that conversation, because I want to see, because obviously you're dealing with, in some ways, very different clientele, in some ways, very similar.
Right. Yeah, I think whatever, hand up, whatever, we hear it all. I think with our clients, and even with my staff, because my staff always says, you know, Luann, we're only like a step above the clients. I mean, I have 12% of my staff are former program participants.
Wow.
So, you know, they're not millionaires, but it works because they look like our clients and our clients trust them. I think a lot of it, I mean, I think it goes back. It's like anything, how you were raised, the support you had when you were growing up. So if you weren't exposed, you know, I can never say I have the lived experience of my staff or my clients. I grew up in a, you know, middle class, very supportive family. Education was an expectation. But if you didn't grow up in that environment and really you were constantly stressed between food and housing, and it's just not a priority, I think. And I do think that, you know, the Northland model, the way they're talking about it, it's, you just can't dump people and say, okay, we're giving you all the, you really have to wrap around them and you have to make sure that you're there for them, because that's a whole new environment for them. And they do need somebody to walk them through stuff and know that, because our clients are mistrusting. When they first come with us, it takes us 4 or 5 visits to get them to trust us, because home visiting is very different. I think you can talk to anybody on the phone and they're probably not telling you the true story, because one, they're embarrassed. They don't want to tell you they don't have something, or they're just testing you. But when you walk, when we walk in our homes and we see a mom 8 months pregnant laying on the floor because she doesn't have a bed, I buy a lot of beds. Mm. Or you open the refrigerator and there's no food. I mean, this is real life stuff they're dealing with. So they have so much going on. I think there's such a stress level that they can't even think beyond today sometimes. So that's why programs like ours, which help them get to that healthy state and have a healthy baby. But then it's like, what's next? And that's where like Northland comes in, you know, because they're not going to be with us forever. At some point, they're going to graduate from our program.
Can you?
I would say, you know, seeing is believing, and exposure is a big part of that. Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm not going to look at it as just black and white either. So we're intentionally on the east side of Buffalo. So that's important.
Doesn't hurt to have a great former manufacturing facility.
There. So part of this whole, what I'll call revolution on that Northland Beltline as a whole, you know, that's taking place there. But the exposure piece is so important, because you got to believe that this could be you too, right? And so when you're looking at individuals that come to the training center, you know, could I do this? You know, because there, if you weren't exposed to it in school or in grammar school, then you don't know necessarily what that advanced manufacturing is. Mm-hmm. Or if you're a female, you might right away think, oh, this isn't for me, like a welder. Like, you know, I can't be a welder. And I think word of mouth has been very good for us. We're very intentional on like any of the marketing where we're showing and highlighting the diversity of age, sex, nationality, race, gender as a whole. Because again, the key is you have to want to work in the fields of advanced manufacturing and clean energy. And then to Luann's point, the wraparound services, right? Because if you're a non-traditional student, there's real life circumstances that take place. Can I go to school or can I work? You know, which one of the two can be done? And I had to make those choices. So I had a young child and I had to decide, do I go to school or can I work? And so I ended up dropping out of school and then going back and dropping out again and going back, because you have to be able, it's a life decision, you know, at that point. And so you look as an organization to have these things, you know, that are in place that can be able to help and to minimize that and not look at it as a handout, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a handout. It's how do I best help you pursue this goal that you want? And then the payoff or the return on your investment is big, because now you have somebody who has a career and an opportunity, like we talked about, just changes the total trajectory of what happens within that family dynamic and generations after that. And then if you want to look at from an employer standpoint, now you have somebody who's ready in the field, because there's again that need, which is why that training is taking place. And I'm a numbers girl. So if you're looking at dollars, I'll just say from the training center alone, since we've opened, $97.2 million back in wages into the local economy, right? So that's an ROI, a real number that's out there that's saying, here's the wages. And if you're using the multiplier effect on that, then you're talking about over $190 million back in the economy overall in the area. So it's a win on every level. That's not a handout.
And just to follow up on that, using that word handout for the moment, just to make this point or to build on it, It's not also because your training center is filling an employment need here in Western New York,
absolutely.
Correct?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that's a big key of the success and the model that we have at the training center is employers are at the table with us. Employers are represented on the board with us within the training center. So really understand, like, what are their needs off of? A lot of times you'll see these silos that take place where you have, you know, training is one silo, education is a silo, the non-for-profits who offer support are a silo, employers are a silo, and we all need each other. Mm-hmm. Right. And so unless there's that act of talking about what we really and truly honestly need, then you can't fill those gaps completely. Right. Like you might have got 2 out of 4 done, 3 out of 5 done, whatever the case may be. But to fully encompass everybody, everybody has to be at the table. Everybody has to talk. Everybody needs to be invested. Everybody needs to have skin in the game in order to actually do the work.
We are talking with Asantua Holly, the COO at the Northland Workforce Training Center, and also Luann Brown, CEO of the Buffalo Prenatal Perinatal Network. This is What's Next. We'll be back with more right after this on Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR.
Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR, brings you trusted local journalism every day. Our reporters are in your communities covering the stories that shape Western New York and Southern Ontario. The issues, people, and decisions that matter. Add national perspective from the BBC and Here and Now, and you're connected to the larger world without losing sight of home. Stay informed with reporting that you can trust on BTPM NPR.
Public media starts here, in our neighborhoods, our schools, our city halls, where decisions meet real life. BTPM NPR's local reporters are asking the questions that matter, listening to the people affected, and explaining what it all means for our region.
There's a lot of poor record keeping. There are records that lists that don't reconcile with other lists. There's a lot of gasoline that's being used that isn't properly accounted for. And there are a lot of people with take-home vehicles.
That's Erie County Comptroller Kevin Hardwick. He's outlining just a few of the issues his office found when conducting an audit of the county's vehicle fleet.
From paper trails to public impact, this is journalism that stays with the story and with the community it serves. Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR, produces journalism with depth, care, and purpose. This is Public Media.
Corey here with the Compact Civics Expansion Pack.
America is such a big, wide, awesome place, and to be able to see things that are representative of so many different places, it can be so important when brought to your tiny town.
Everybody is so kind and loving. I'm here in Buffalo just because of State Buffalo.
From urban farms to rural fairs, we'll celebrate spaces that bring us together and create community.
Watch on the Buffalo Toronto Public Media YouTube channel.
An easy way to give to the station that has given you so much over the years is by naming Buffalo Toronto Public Media as a beneficiary on an existing or new life insurance policy. For more information, contact me, Lisa LaTravato, at 716-845-7031.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues facing the communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the BTPM app, and we'll work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern we should be addressing? Email us at whatsnext@btpm.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that matter. This is Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR.
To What's Next. I'm Jay Moran, your host here on Buffalo Toronto Public Media NPR. With us, we have Asantu Wahali, the COO at the Northland Workforce Training Center, and also the CEO of Buffalo Prenatal and Perinatal Network, Luann Brown. We're brought you guys here to talk about the upcoming event, Strong Families, Strong Futures Workforce Development Expo on Tuesday, the 14th. It's running from 10 until 1 at the Buffalo EOC on Ellicott Street here in downtown Buffalo. But we've been able to expand this conversation in a lot of different ways. But I want to get back to the prenatal and perinatal network here for a moment for you, Luann. The idea that you are reaching out to fathers, that you've made a point, a very intentional point, even though obviously, you know, in the end of the day, it's the focus is about the mom. Focuses about the healthy pregnancy, the child that follows. Mm-hmm. But with reaching out to fathers and focusing on them, take us through how that evolved and what you might say is the success of it so far.
I mean, when I went in 15 to Buffalo Prenatal, and I had a light bulb moment one day, and I thought, you know, we don't really do, Healthy Families tries to engage the dads, but it's not like their main focus. And I had some conversation with some people, and I thought we really need to do something with this because, you know, whether it might not be the partner, it might be an uncle, it might be a grandfather, whatever, but that male presence is important. And like I said, and everyone has their biases, including my own staff. You know, like my staff sometimes thinks every guy is a DV perpetrator. And I'm like, you have to get past that. Not everyone is a perpetrator, okay? There's a lot of dads out there who really want to be involved. And in the course that they teach through Nurturing Fathers, you know, the first two classes, and I love going, I just went to the class last week. I love going to these classes because when I first went, I said to Antoine Johnson, who was my original fatherhood guy, I said, you know, they're probably not going to talk because I'm going to be the only woman there. They are so chatty. I can't even tell you. But you know what? I think it's a safe space for them. It's not like they're going to talk about this stuff like at work or at the bar or at a gym. You know, they sit there and talk about like teachable moments. But the class itself, the first two classes, they talk about the history with their own dads. And that's the part that always gets me because it gets very emotional because a lot of them, their dads were not in their lives and they want to do better. But then we talk about disciplining your child, engaging with your child. And I think probably the two most important things they talk about are co-parenting and communication, because a lot of times they are not with their partner anymore, but they still have a child together and the child has to be the focus. So I think it's really like life-changing to hear these guys talk and then they come back and they say, and I did this instead. That was one of the reasons we started we call it the Ma and Pa class, because the guys would go home all excited and their partners are looking at them like, we don't know what you're talking about. And they're very proud of them. They come to the graduation and everything. But so now we started it so where the mom and dad are sitting there together, and which makes more sense. Because at the end of the day, you know, you want them, it can't be about especially if you're not together anymore. It's got to be about the child, because that child, that's what they live with the rest of their lives, and it impacts them the rest of their lives. So I think I've seen a lot of growth with it. We actually teach, it's a different curriculum, but we actually teach at the Erie County Holding Center and at Alden Correctional, because those guys are dads too, and, you know, no pun, they're a captive audience, but they get so involved. Because it's something, they're doing something. I mean, Terry Say, who's my current, he really wants to do a mom pod class with the prison. And I'm like, I don't know how you're going to do that with security and everything, but whatever, you figure it out by Zoom. But I just see it, I see them really wanting to be really good for their kids. And like I said, this boxing class the other night, a lot of the dads were there with their sons or their daughters. And it's a really, it's a different relationship than a mom has with her child. And it does show that there are things, and you talk about healthy births, there's research that shows when like dads are there, you know, encourage them to go to prenatal care, to breastfeed, it has a big impact on that mom. So there is a piece of having a father figure there that is helpful not only to the mom, but the child.
Asantua, you shared earlier about your decision that you made early in your life to give up school and raise your child. And here you are now, the chief operating officer in the North Warren Workforce Training Center. Obviously, it didn't happen overnight. But as Luann was talking, I wonder if there was parts of what she was saying that you reflected upon and felt some sort of truth or something that you experienced along your path.
Maybe some resonated on there. My family dynamic was different, so I had a huge support system coming into it. So, but I understand that having to make the choice is part of it, right? And so, my family in itself, I had my daughter as a teenager, junior. I attended those City Honors High School, you know, at the time, went right into UB, biomedical or chemistry major. But I decided to work, you know, and ironically, my career started taking off because I went into the banking industry. Mm. And so I was like, well, I'm going to work because nobody kind of asked me, like, do you got a degree? And I was like, yeah, I'm just going to keep working. And I really had got blessed within doing that until the financial market crashed. And then, you know, I was about to move to Delaware and they're like, oh, yeah, and we need your degree. And I'm like, I don't have a degree. Nobody ever asked, you know, during this time, like, you know, did you have a degree or anything? And I didn't.
So you could have probably benefited from the like we're talking about wraparound services.
Yeah, but from the
somebody
wraparound,
to help lead you into. I
don't want to downplay that I had an extraordinary family support system on both sides. Yeah, so that's a huge difference on there. But I do understand that how important support is, right? Whether if you can't get it internally from your family, but to have a place, right, where you're seen, and we're talking about like having those communications and bringing people in and really just having somebody who you can talk to who knows what you're going through, right? Mm-hmm. Because for me, there wasn't, in my family dynamic, anybody who to talk to. They'd be like, hey, you know what, I'm to go through this. That wasn't it. It was like, hey, we're going to love on you. But for me, it really was taking me to get out over myself and where my thought process was of like, I'm not going to let anybody look at me as a statistic because I'm not, you know, and I really pushed myself extraordinarily hard, sometimes in ways that I didn't have to, trying to prove things that I really didn't have to prove. Mm-hmm. But what I was trying to prove is I'm not anybody's statistic, you know. And so I think those programs and the services that you guys offer are incredible because that's not a healthy space to be in. And you have to know that. You don't have to prove anybody, you know, to be there. This is a situation. It doesn't define who you are. And sky can still be the limit of, you know, whatever that is going to be for whomever.
Right. And I think that you're right. I mean, I think a family, if you have a strong family around, it makes a huge difference. A lot of our clients don't. I mean, they might be estranged from their family, whatever. So we become their family. But I know it works. So we have a community advisory board that was started through our community health worker program. So these are moms that are close to graduating or graduating. We started a couple years ago. We meet with them every month. We would do like a lot of this training that we do with the staff. We call them the CAB because they actually changed it to Courageous Advocates Breaking Barriers. That's their title for their group. But they would come to a lot of the training. We would go to them for input. Like, we got this free marketing campaign. We won this contest, and we were able to put stuff up on bus shelters and buses. And we were, the marketing company came up with a slogan, a tagline, and pictures and everything. So, of course, the managers and I are sitting looking at the pictures going, yeah, we like this one. So we take it to the community advisory board, and they're like, that girl looks too happy. She looks like a rock star. And I mean, like, we're listening, and I'm going, okay, so we don't know. Okay, so they're telling us, they go, when I came to this program, I didn't look like her. I was, so we had to change everything around. But that group, like, I'm so proud of it. And we've had to change. We try to bring new people in, but they're all working now. So we have to really work around their schedules, which is a wonderful output. So I think that because we did do stuff with, we did fun stuff with them. We did educational stuff with them, but we also did getting ready for the workforce. So I know it works. I mean, but like Northland does, you just can't drop them and just say, okay, we're giving you all the resources. Go ahead and do your thing. It's, you really have to be there and guide them along, because they don't have that experience, a lot of them, or the support.
And it's intimidating.
Right? It is intimidating.
It's intimidating. Like, you want me, like, we're having a conversation, an interview here, and I openly said I'm nervous. Every time I talk, I'm nervous before. So imagine, sitting in front of a group of people where they're making a decision if you're going to get this job.
Right.
And you're counting on this, and you can see what will happen if you're able to get in this. But it's important to be able to be prepared, for those things as much as possible.
Right.
And that's why it's super important, I think, with what you guys are doing with the expo. It's not just come hear about training, come hear about jobs, come hear about this. But here's these other things that are essential, because sometimes it's not even the paper. It's when you walk in the door, your personality, right? It's how you're talking, how you carry yourself, all those different things that say, I can get you the skill set that's needed, but you're appearing to be somebody who's active, who's engaged, who wants to do those things. And I think sometimes we miss how important those are too.
And to listen to I remember, like, we felt so strongly about the CAB that we changed our bylaws for our board so that we have seats. We always had consumers on the board because they should be at the table, because we're serving them and we should know what they're thinking. But, we put these spots. And I remember after the first board meeting, my manager came to me, Marikson, and said, because they came to the board meeting. Of course, we're going to do a little finance thing for them because they don't understand what we're talking about. We're talking about balance sheets. Some of the board members don't even know every line. I said, we need to do some education with them. But Marikson came to me and she said, they were really embarrassed. And I said, why? And of course, all my board is coming from work and they're all dressed. And they came in and felt like they didn't have the right clothes on. So we went and bought them clothes. Mm. I mean, we do that now for interviews and stuff. But I mean, I never would have thought about that until they said that to me. I mean, so I think it's always important when you're working in this type of field that you're listening to your clients, because, again, I didn't grow up on the east side of Buffalo. I'm not a Black or Hispanic woman. I listen to my staff a lot. And I listen to my clients a lot, because things that we think we know, we don't.
Well, we are talking today about the upcoming event, Strong Families, Strong Futures Workforce Development Expo, on Tuesday the 14th, 10 until 1 at the Buffalo EOC on Ellicott Street. With us, Asantu Ahali, the Chief Operating Officer at Northland Workforce Training Center, and also with us, the CEO of the Buffalo Prenatal and Perinatal Network, Lou Ann Brown. We're going to take one more time out, come back with our final segment after this. This is What's Next on Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR. Our mission at Buffalo Toronto Public Media is to serve our local community by keeping you informed and connected to your community. Whether it's by learning the power of Thanksgiving from the Haudenosaunee.
And it really helps us to reset and reground ourselves in that perspective of gratitude and abundance, which is the core of our, what we call Ganakuyo or Ganagohio, the good mind.
Or keeping up on local sports teams on Skin in the Game with John Simperman and Tim O'Shaughnessy.
How would you describe the growth of basketball in Canada and the popularity of basketball in Canada over the last 30 years now for the Raptors, right?
Yeah. When I was a head coach at Niagara, this would have been 93 or 94, and they announced that Toronto was going to get an NBA franchise. I remember we had a staff meeting, and I said to my assistant coaches, this is the new frontier.
This is Public Media.
Trust doesn't happen by accident. It's built through careful reporting, verified facts, and respect for the audience. BTPM NPR's local journalists take the time to get it right, covering the issues shaping Western New York and Southern Ontario.
Immigration consultants like Tatiana Cabrera say they're seeing more interest in people coming to Canada, but warn there are still many hurdles to overcome.
It's not sort of a free-for-all type of an application, but I think it's still worth attempting for many people who see that they have either parent, grandparent, great-grandparent who may have been born in Canada.
UPD responded to a reported serious concern based on credible information and followed established police procedures. According to court filings from police, the students only had a photo to identify the person who made the threats.
News without spin, context without noise. This is Public Media.
At Buffalo Toronto Public Media, we're committed to serving our entire community. Whether you're listening to investigative journalism on BTPM NPR, enjoying world-class performances on BTPM Classical, discovering new local artists on BTPM The Bridge, or immersing yourself in mysteries on BTPM PBS, Public Media has something for everyone. Explore programs that matter to you at btpm.org. This is Public Media.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues facing the communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the BTPM app, and we'll work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern we should be addressing? Email us at whatsnext@btpm.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that matter. This is Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR.
And welcome back to What's Next. Today we're talking about Strong Families, Strong Futures, Workforce Development Expo on Tuesday, April 14th. It runs from 10 until 1 at the Buffalo EOC on Ellicott Street here in Buffalo. With us, Luann Brown, the CEO of the Buffalo Prenatal and Perinatal Network, and also with us, Asantua Holly, COO at Northland Workforce Training Center. When we were off in the break there, we kind of got into a conversation I thought was pretty interesting about intentionality. And I'm interested in that because that's a topic that seems to come up on this program from time to time, that there's got to be that inside an organization to make things really work. And especially, I think, when you're working with people who are, you know, for whatever reason, are looking for opportunities, struggling. What about that? Maybe talk. Maybe we'll start with you, Asantu, about your organization. Maybe some of the lessons learned. You joined 5 years ago, and have been there for that, and you've seen some changes. What about that, and how perhaps Northland has kind of maybe altered itself over the years to be just that, intentional about who you're trying to reach and where you're trying to take these clients?
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the biggest things for us in intentionality is listening to the employers, right? And so we have now some internal programs outside of what's offered through both of the colleges that are on campus. And so that intentionality comes with, you know, employers saying, hey, we need people now. One, for an example, would be CNC, which is computer numeric control. So there was a 2-year program that we had through Alfred State College that led to a degree. High demand field. Can't get people fast enough for this job. So, but part of the problem is, one, people don't know what it is, right? So when you're talking about like, what, CNC? What exactly do you do with this metal and how do you format it? But the other thing is that 2-year time frame, right, to be able to get in. And so we have an internal program, which is a 12-week program. This is our fourth time running it. So 4 cohorts of just 12 weeks of the program to get individuals ready and prepared, right, to go into the workforce right away. And that's intentionally listening to employers and not saying, all right, we hear you, but we're still going to keep going with this 2-year. And when they graduate, that's when you're going to get to them. Well, no, this is what you need. You're telling us there's jobs. You're telling us you can fill them right now. Okay, well, let's look at what this curriculum looks like in order to be able to be successful. What is the career pathway in there? So if they're coming in very entry level because it's only 12 weeks, how else are you able to show that they would be able to stay within this organization or your company? And what is that career pathway? And when all that aligns, it's like, oh, it just makes sense. Okay, so now we're doing an internal programs, and there's a couple. We do a finishing and a brewing one, which is the same thing based upon employer need as well. The other thing I just want to talk about intentionality very quickly is,
please.
I think of our Summer Youth Academy program where Dr. Carolyn Storms Stoltman, she really put that program together with Stephen's Vision, our president and CEO. And what happened, this was before I came to the training center, Mayor of Summer Youth, you know, wasn't at the training center as it is now. What it was that you would have schools in the suburban areas because they were exposed to CTE in these fields and advanced manufacturing. And my granddad did it, my dad do it, and they know like the money that's involved in it. They're busting in their students, right, to come to the training center to take a tour, to get them enrolled, because for the most part, you're able to go locally instead of having to go out to campus at Wellsville. So you're saving that cost, room, board, and all of that. And you know the jobs that are attached to it. But we're housed on the east side of Buffalo. And so it's like when it initially started, you weren't seeing a good minority representation. And so Stephen decided to do and partner with the city of Buffalo with the Summer Youth Academy or program that they do. So intentionally, if you're a student in the city of Buffalo, you're exposed. Now, this doesn't mean automatically you're going to go to the training center. That's not the intent of it. But the intent is that exposure piece. So intentionally saying, hey, we're here. You need to be able to see what these opportunities are that are available for you. And right now, we get 3,000 some students who apply to get just into the training center Summer Youth Academy program. And you see that shift in numbers. And so I'm a numbers girl, like I said. And so looking at it now, we're over 50% diverse within the training center.
Because you've been able to expand that.
Because you've been able to expand that. You're intentionally letting individuals see, hey, this can be you, this looks like you, and opening the doors for everybody to be able to come in.
All right, Luann, I mean, you kind of touched upon this a little bit, which really brought me to the question, just some of the things that you've seen altered since you've become the CEO at Buffalo Prenatal. But what about that, the kind of continuing idea that you've got to, you know, change and understand the needs and maybe a little bit of, or actually probably a lot of bit of empathy when you get right to it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, the them having the community advisory board, them being able to spot on the board, we're doing we do a lot of research with University of Buffalo because I'm a big believer in that, and they always need our clients for their studies. But we're doing a study now where they developed this cool, they basically took a box fan and jerry-rigged it to provide better ventilation in homes. So they've linked air pollution with hypertension in moms. It's just not a great. So, of course, we were the lead for it because it was through DEC and it had to be a nonprofit. It's a huge grant. And so our clients are going to get access to these. But so we went to look at them. The first thing they said is they're too big. I mean, my clients are in small apartments.
Right.
The unit was too big. So that's like a perfect example of things that we don't think we know. You know, we're kicking off a totally different subject, but Black Maternal Health Week is coming up next week, and we're kicking off a project that I've done on implicit bias because, you know, in case you don't know, maternal mortality, women of color are 4 to 5 times more likely to die during birth. So I actually worked with a partner from California who's a playwright, and we got funding from the Health Foundation. Thank you, Health Foundation. And she's the creative one. She wrote 11 different vignettes, a couple of my clients, but also like a midwife, a doula, about their real life experience. And our intent is to get those into curriculum for medical schools, for nursing schools, for social work. So anyway, we created these. We've got 11 vignettes. UB's already, they're going to be my test case. They're going to put them in their curriculum. I'm reaching out to the hospitals because the clinical staff, I know how nurses are, they need to see these as well. And nobody goes into healthcare because they want to be biased. You just don't have the life experience. But they're hard to watch. They're 2 to 3
minutes.
They hit home. The people we've showed them to. So we're going to kick it off. But our goal is really to roll it out nationwide, and we're going to make a lot of money. I'm going to give it all back to Buffalo. But the implicit bias piece, that's another piece where you're listening to your clients, you know, that and teaching them how to advocate for themselves. So you can never assume you know what they're thinking. That's, I think, the message that we're both saying, because you haven't lived their lives.
We are coming down to our final minutes here, our discussion. We brought Luann and Asantua into what's next to talk about the upcoming event, Strong Families, Strong Futures Workforce Development Expo. But Asantua, you mentioned something earlier about working at Northland. We gotten into your background probably a little more than you expected today, but, you know, your banking background and such. Would you say you've grown to love being at Northland? And I'm interested in that. What took this numbers woman, as you described yourself, and has what goes on there that has brought that feeling?
Well, one, I'm a woman of faith, and so I believe every door that has been opened for me, God has opened. So I'll say that. And the level of love is because I see it every day. And so there's these misconceptions of what a non-for-profit is. I will say like this, like we run like a for-profit business. I still get the best of both worlds right. within that. But when I'm out and just see people who I may not know, and their son or daughter or mother or father have went through the training center, or they know somebody who went through the training center and they have this career now and they brought a house or did a car or whatever it is, or just proud that they graduated and are in this particular field or working in some of these amazing companies that are out here within the region. And it makes me happy because we see the work, right? And a lot of times when people, data and all this stuff, okay, that's great, right? And in the finance world, you can see like, yeah, we did this loan for somebody or they helped them be able to start a business, which is all great. But I'm a big advocate of workforce development, a space that I wasn't in before, because I personally do not believe that you can change a circumstance or a situation without finances to do so. And you have to be able to be employed or self-employed to do it. And I see us doing it daily and changing people's lives. And it just gets me up every morning thankful mm-hmm. that I'm able to be in this space.
Mm-hmm. Let's turn that to you then, Luann. You were a self-described burned-out nurse of 30 years in the field before getting over right. to the prenatal perinatal network.
The same,
I got a sense that is the same for you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Children's was a nonprofit too, but I mean, I've convinced people to go into nonprofit when they're changing careers, and I always say to them, listen, you're never going to be a millionaire, but at the end of the day, you're going to walk out feeling like you helped somebody, I said. And, you know, you have to have a heart for it, though, because it is stressful, especially in these times with grants being cut and a lot of scrutiny. You have to love it. And I think it's the same, what Tanya's saying, is that it's to see those success stories. And we see them. We have a mom that's an attorney now. I mean, I always tell the story about I went to my OB appointment, my GYN appointment, and this woman walked in and asked me my history and said, asked me where I worked. And when I said where I worked, she goes, looked at me and I said, were you one of our clients? She said, yeah. She goes, I pregnant when I was 12. And I found out you guys in school. My mom kind of said to me, which is unusual. A lot of times the grandmothers step in, a lot of times with these young moms. And luckily we don't have as many young moms because teen pregnancy is down. But at the
point, is that right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Teen pregnancy is down. So, but she, you know, her mom was kind of saying to her, this is your deal, whatever. So she found us. She stayed with us. She got her LPN. She's working. She started to be a travel nurse. And when we had our big fundraiser in July a couple years ago, she brought her son, who had just graduated from college. So those, you can't make up those stories. I mean, that's like a beautiful, because, you know, she did it, but we did it with her. So I think that that's what makes the job so worthwhile.
I have a sense that maybe you might have similar stories from Northland, right?
Tons. And you just see it, and you see people come back, and like I said, it's all ages, you know, that are there. We have several graduates who have graduated, worked in the field, and are now instructors because mm-hmm. they understand, you know, how that pouring in went to. So they're either employed at Alfred State College or SUNY Erie College, giving that same opportunity to other individuals right. and still employed too, you know, but that give back. And like, why you come back? You be a teacher, because I'm an adjunct, you know, and you got to love to teach and, you know, to want to be able to do that work. But you really understand that give back piece of it and allowing somebody else to have an opportunity, which is important.
If somebody wanted to find out more about the Northland Workforce Training Center, best way?
Best way, our website, northlandwtc.org, or stop over at 683 Northland Avenue and see us.
And switching then to the Buffalo Prenatal and Perinatal Network, you sound like you've been doing great outreach here, Luann, but you never know who you reach with these programs.
We reach people in different ways. So you can go to our website, bppn.org, and actually, if you want to make a referral, you can self-refer, but we have all our programs listed there, or you can call the office at 716-884-6711.
And we, of course, brought you under the auspices that we're going to talk about Strong Families, Strong Futures Workforce Development Expo. That's on Tuesday, the 14th, 10 until 1 at the Buffalo EOC on Ellicott Street here in Buffalo. Asante Ohale and Luann Brown, thanks so very much for being with us on What's Next.
Thank you.
This has been What's Next on Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR.
Support for the BTPM NPR What's Next podcast comes from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, partnering with the community to pursue racial and socioeconomic health equity. Learn more at hfwcny.org.